Actually, let me start by saying thank you very much for all joining and showing some interest in UNUPS. It's the first time Elsa and I are here at this fair, and we're overwhelmed actually by the interest that we've seen so far, so thank you very much for the interest. My name is Victoria Gamble. I'm the Head of Talent Management at UNUPS, which is the United Nations Office for Project Services. We're based in Copenhagen. I'm British. I've worked for the UN for the last 10 years, first with UNDP and now with UNUPS, and in a variety of roles in HR, change management, project management. And we are delighted to be here today to talk to you a little bit about UNUPS, what we do, and what opportunities are. I'm joined by a colleague, Elsa Ravis, who also works for me in HR, and she will help with any questions that we may have at the end of the session. What we're going to do, we have 45 minutes. If you allow me, I'll take you through a few slides just to talk about what UNUPS does, what the organisation does, and then we'll actually open the floor for just some questions on career opportunities and what questions you may have. So maybe just to talk a little bit about UNUPS's mission, to serve people in need by expanding the capacity of other organisations. We are an operational arm of the UN, working on project management services. So quite often we work for and on behalf of governments, human agencies, financial institutions such as the World Bank, implementing projects on their behalf. Our vision is very much around sustainable development and advancing sustainable development practices, and we have three key areas that we work in. So exactly for our UNUPS, so the operational arm of the UN, we help partners to deliver aid and development programmes. And we don't have a specific substantive mandate of our own. We work very much with partners, governments, other UN agencies, and they call on us to supplement their own capacities, including speed, risk management, and cost effectiveness. We are, of course, a not-for-profit organisation. We're actually one of the few, if not the only, self-financing UN agency. We don't receive any direct donor funds. We are self-financing through the services that we offer our partners. Somebody asked me this morning, can you tell me what you do in a nutshell? And in a complex environment that we work, it's very hard to do that. But if I had to, I would nail it down to these three areas. So we provide support to our partners in the areas of sustainable infrastructure, sustainable procurement, purchasing and supply, and sustainable project management. Please come in. So it sounds quite straightforward, but in a nutshell, it's those three areas that we're working in. In practice, of course, it's far more complex, and it would take some more time than we have today to go into, but I hope to give you a flavour of what we do. So exactly what does that mean in real terms? It all sounds very good, but the work that we do ranges from, for example, building shelters in Haiti following the earthquake 2010. UNUPS had a large presence there working on infrastructure assessments and building shelters, allowing communities to return to their homes. Procuring, purchasing bed nets with malaria, medicine impregnated bed nets, health equipment for children in Myanmar. And there, of course, our role is in managing the procurement and the purchasing of those nets for efficiencies for the organisation. And managing, for example, a development programme which involved construction. Here you can see this is in Serbia, the rehabilitation of a school following the conflict there. So that's a flavour of the types of work. The theme that you see running through that is it's around infrastructure, procurement and project management. Who are we? Which is, I guess, the important thing that you guys want to know. The sort of people that work for UNUPS. UNUPS has a very diverse mix of people. One of our HR philosophies is that we would like to have a truly diverse workforce that reflects the people we serve. We have more than 6,000 people working for us across the globe. We are a field-based organisation, so 85% of our workforce are working in the field. We have our headquarters in Copenhagen, Denmark, just a couple of hours away, and we have a network of regional offices in each of the continents, and the vast majority of our work is done through our country offices and our operations centres there, where we have 20 of them working across 80 countries. I'm going to see if I can... Let me see if I can... We thought rather than me standing here telling you what it's like to work at UNOS, we've asked some of our colleagues just to give a couple of words on why they work at UNOS and what they think working at UNOS is like. So I'd like to just take 3 minutes, 4 minutes to share that with you, if I can get this to work. So.
UNOPS is an operational arm of the UN system. So we help our partners, UN agencies, governments, and donors to deliver the products. So what we do is basically infrastructure, procurement, and project management work on the field.
I define that UNOPS is a state finance organization. We are all projected towards achieving results. It's not just that we sign a contract and we stay in the UN forever, no. We have an obligation to perform.
The work in Afghanistan is very challenging, but at the same time very enriching in terms of experience. You see the results on the ground.
This is an agency which do the actual work, the concrete work. I am junior professional officer for UNOPS, funded by government of Japan. My first assignment was in South Sudan, and then I moved to the regional office. I'm now in headquarters.
I'm working in implementing sustainability in UNOPS. That could be in economic, social, environmental terms, but also national capacity building. UNOPS is unique in the sense that they give young people a very good opportunity to be part of everything. So you're not limited by your age or if you are new in the UNOPS.
Working for UNOPS in Kosovo is a fantastic experience. We have many very experienced and good capacity national staff that work for us. I think what makes UNOPS unique is the way that they manage our staff.
The best part of UNOPS is as people. Also, UNOPS gives you a great chance to develop. And personally, I attended over 10 courses around the world.
For me, what excites me more about UNOPS are basically two things. To do technical things with a diverse group and deliver the good for the people.
They were able to speak volumes more than I could about what it's like to work at UNOPS. A couple of the things you saw on there, our Director for Project Management, Ricardo Vargas, he joined us in 2012. Previous to that, he was the Director of the PMI, the Project Management Institute in Latin America. So he's really involved in and is working wonders in professionalising a sustainable project management practice and leading a team of professional project managers across the globe. The other lady I'd like to highlight is Aina, who's one of our interns, and she has joined us from Copenhagen Business, is working with us for 6 months on sustainability projects. So you can see there's a range of opportunities, and we're not here really to pitch for the one or the other, but we have opportunities at all levels in the organisation. I would like to stress at the end, you saw we are now on Facebook and on LinkedIn and Twitter, and we have, if you go to our website, unops.org, we have a newsletter that you can sign up for, and we'll start to circulate vacancies through that. So there's many ways that you can engage with us, not just today here, but also going forward in different forums. I'll go through a few more slides in terms of what we do, and then we'll open up for some questions. I hope you can see this. This is really to show the scope of where we work. We are a global organisation. We are field-based. I don't know if you can see at the back. We are field-based. I think I mentioned 85% of our people are working in the field. The nature of what we do means that we're often working in very difficult environments. And about 30% of our workforce are working in what we call post-conflict, hardship, challenging environments, which in the UN are known as non-family duty stations. What that means is it's quite a challenging environment. But that's the nature of the work we do on behalf of governments building infrastructure. Just to give you a flavour, our largest offices, we have Afghanistan, where we have a large portfolio of infrastructure work, building roads, prisons, hospitals. Actually, Jerusalem and the Palestine area, where we're working again on infrastructure, building a lot, working with the police in that sector. What else could I pick on? South Sudan, again, infrastructure projects. Myanmar, which you can see is a fairly large office for us, that's something very different. There we're working with fund management and health issues, but our role there is the project management and the fund management. And then, of course, in Latin America, we have Haiti, Peru, Argentina. And there in Peru and Argentina, we're working very much with the local governments on capacity building and procurement. So there's a range of different areas that we're working in. What's common to them all is that it's about sustainable project management, building national capacities and partnering with governments. But I think it gives you a flavour of our presence. We have some opportunities in headquarters locations, but the vast majority of our work is in the field. Our focus now in UNOPS is moving into a new strategic plan, a new strategic era, which runs to 2014 for the next 4 years, and we're very much focused on sustainability and sustainable development. And you'll see that coming through in all of our practices. It's been there throughout, but it's really being articulated as a focus area for us. So there where we're looking at infrastructure, we're looking not just at building the infrastructure, but making sure that there's community engagement and that the infrastructure is sustainable and can be used by communities, taking into account social, economic, and environmental factors. So here you can see an example, one of our colleagues who's building a bridge in South Sudan. And there we're working on behalf of you can see the UN resident coordinator saying that UNOPS is working on a lot of the infrastructure projects. Here's some results to give you a flavour of what we do. We are self-financing, so we're very clear on reporting on our results and demonstrating the achievements of what we've done. And this work is done on behalf of and together with governments and other UN agencies. So construction or rehabilitation of schools, 74 schools, 12,000 relief structures, quite often working with in refugee camps or with UNHCR, building emergency relief structures, courthouses, police stations, health clinics, and prisons and detention centres in countries where they don't have those facilities. This is a very nice one because when we think in our terms, in terms of building roads and how we build roads, for me this speaks volumes about why we build roads. You have someone in Afghanistan who said the roads, you know, it's talking about the impact that those roads have made. So now the people in that community can access schools and hospitals and get to market, something that was not possible before. So when we talk about sustainability, what's important for us is really community engagement, making sure that the communities that we interact with are part of that process. Environmentally friendly construction, and developing the capacity of local workforce. So quite often we're looking for labour-based projects where we can make sure that the local community is involved in the construction of those projects. Project management, which is something I've heard a lot of questions on this morning. What exactly do we do in terms of project management? Let me skip here to an example of how we work. Project management methodology, UNOPS chooses PRINCE2 as the typical project management methodology. But equally, and I think I said this to some of you this morning, what we're looking for is people who have demonstrated experience and certification in a project management methodology. If you have PMI or PMP, that's also fine. Internally, we use PRINCE2, so we speak the same language and we manage our projects and our stakeholders in that way. In terms of our expertise in project management, we call our 300 project managers that work for us at any one time, and they'll be working on project-specific basis, managing various projects. So we have a roster of experts that we can call for specialised expertise. When we talk about project management, it could be managing the implementation of building a road. It could be managing a project which is advising a government. So we're looking at a whole range of project management services, not hands-on stuff, and also more consultancy-based. And you can see here now, our practice group are starting more and more to provide consulting services to governments in terms of capacity building. And lastly, maybe I move on to procurement, purchasing and supply chains, I think it's known. we are becoming, we are the central resource for procurement for UN agencies, and we are a leading resource for UN agencies for, and so we've developed capacity in terms of procurement expertise, also working with governments in terms of that area. And you can see here the sort of procurement we do, up to 60% of our services and 50% of our goods through our catalogues. We partner, here again it's looking relevant for you, we partner with the CIPS, which is the Chartered Institute of Purchasing and Supply, for our professional certifications and standards in procurement. Finally, just to touch on, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the IRT transparency, a transparency agenda. Really just to stress, it's something that's very close to UNOP's heart as a self-financing agency. We were the first UN agency to publish all of our project data online. It's available so you can go and see how the money is being spent, how efficiently it's being spent, and in which regions. And we're now managing all of our data through that way. I think I will stop there in the interest of time. I would very much like to leave the floor open for questions. In terms of career opportunities, I think I've touched upon, you know, we're not here really to go for interns or graduates or senior level, it's the whole range of opportunities that there are. Our mandate is fairly clear, we're a field-based organisation. When we talked to our colleagues on the video about what's it like to work at UNOPS, there were some themes that came through. People said they enjoyed being there because we're results focused. You could see a colleague that said, you know, we're an agency that just gets things done. We don't have a policy mandate. We're not looking at governance and democracy. We're very much about project management and implementation. So we're quite results focused and we're quite proud of that. We are self-financing. That drives also an element of efficiency and constantly having to improve processes. So there were some themes that came through when you talked to people about why they like working at UNOPS that came through again and again. And of course, we have international opportunities all the time. Someone asked me this morning, you know, how often do you have vacancies? Every day we put new vacancies up, short term, long term. The thing to do is to look at our website and see the opportunities that are there. Because as we stand here today, and there's 70 vacancies, you know, in January I know there'll be a 100 more coming. Let me open the floor for questions, if there are any.
Victoria, well, thank you very much for your presentation. Two questions. Can you talk a little bit more about your recruiting process,
yes,
please? And secondly, would you just talk a little bit more about your pool of project management experts and
yes,
how that works?
Okay. So the two questions were just to touch upon the recruitment process and to talk about the pool of experts that we have for project management. UNOPS has our recruitment process is fairly clear. We advertise all of our jobs on our website, unops.org. We have an e-recruit system that we use for that. Our applications go exclusively through that channel. We typically advertise vacancies for 3 or 4 weeks, and we try to manage the recruitment process as speedily as we can after that. What you could anticipate from a typical recruitment process would be, if you're a shortlisted candidate, there would be 2 stages to it. So once we post the ad, we'll look through and we'll review the candidates and come up with the most suitable shortlisted candidates. And then you can expect to be contacted for a written assessment in many cases. Depending on the job, if it's a technical role or a managerial role, the content of that written assessment will be different. But we would typically do a written assessment. And then if you're successful in that, you would then be invited for an interview, which are competency-based interviews, and unfortunately, due to the nature of our work, they tend to be remote. So for most of our roles, we would conduct those through a VC, a video conference, or Skype these days, actually. Some specific recruitment processes have second-round interviews as well. It depends on the level of the role and the number of stakeholders involved. So that's a typical process. But of course, there are reference checks involved. But that's more or less how it works. All of our opportunities are on our website. You can also, I don't know if you're familiar with a website called the UN Job List. UNFPA.org that pulls through vacancies from other agencies, and they're all centralised. But we put everything on UNFPA.org on our recruitment site, and I would encourage you to go there. If you're interested to work for UNFPA, go there, create a profile, which is like an online CV, and then as and when opportunities come up, you can apply very easily to those opportunities. What takes the time, as it does with any CV, go there, create your profile, put your background and your experience, and then as and when the jobs come up, you can apply to them. It's a great system. We developed it in 2012, so it's fairly new, and it's all completely quite user-friendly for everybody. Did that answer the question on the...
Yes, thank you.
The second question was on the pool of experts, project managers. And there we have, separate from our specific vacancies, we have what we call roster pools available. So for those roles that we know we're going to need many of, and project management would be one of those, we've created pools, rosters, that people can apply for and express an interest. And at the moment of application, we don't know where that location would be or when that assignment would be. But you can apply to be in a pool and you express an interest for that type of profile. And what that means is that as and when we need those profiles, we can dip into that pool and we would have people ready. We've just done very recently an assessment for our infrastructure project managers who can be deployed in emergencies. So there we've gone through all of that selection process and endorsed the people, and we will invite them to be on contract, but we will use them as and when we need them. So it's more short-term assignments as and when the need arises, which unfortunately it is.
So when you say short term, how long?
Short term for us, it depends on the context. It could be 4 weeks up to 6 months. I think that's what I would call short term. General assignments typically are from 1 to 4 years. We don't have any longer term appointments at UNOP, so it's very much project based.
Thank you.
Yes.
How much training do you do on the job? For example, recent graduates who may not have much experience in project management, do you need a lot of training during the actual field experience?
Yes. Once you join UNOPS, is that the question?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Thank you. That's a very good question. We have, and now I can speak because I'm also involved in the learning team, so I put my learning hat on. We have an internal project management certification program. So actually, when I talked about PRINCE2, this is what we consider to be the foundation methodology for project managers. But internally in UNOPS, once as and when people become a project manager, they go through an internal certification program that lasts 12 to 18 months. And that involves a 10-day foundation course where they learn all the tools and the policies and the process, risk management, policy and project management planning. And then as they go back to their jobs, they have a 6 to 12 month certification process where they have to demonstrate how they've used that through their day-to-day work. We have project management success criteria in the organisation that looks at 6 different areas of success, including project satisfaction, delivering on time and budget, managing your people well, managing your resources well. And actually, our project managers are held accountable across all of those areas as they move through the project cycle. So in terms of that training, we have a good internal framework that's UNOPS.
You don't expect us to have project management qualifications. It's good to have experience, but there's no requirement for project management trainees will provide that during the actual...
UNOPS provides training for all of our personnel. And actually, what we have is that the resources we have are our people, so we're very keen to invest and continue to invest in training for our people. I should clarify that in order to become a project manager, you would need to have project management experience. So to be recruited in as a project manager, you would expect that you would have demonstrated experience in that. Once you come in, we would give you the UNOPS training in project management. There are roles where you could come in at entry level without some of that experience, and of course we would train up there, but you wouldn't come in typically as a project manager.
I was particularly interested in internship opportunities for graduates.
I think the question, if I'm correct, was just a little bit on internship opportunities and graduate opportunities. So we have, and I speak first a little bit maybe about our headquarters in Copenhagen. We have 150 people working in our headquarters, and we have 30 interns within that community. We see interns. The internship program is a great resource for the organisation and a great opportunity.
opportunity for young people to come in and get a flavour of working in the UN and see what it looks and feels like from the inside. We have internship programmes that range from 3 months to up to 12 months, so it's capped at a 12-month duration. They are typically in the field, for example, we have one in HR, Rhea will take in an intern to work on some HR projects, project management also has them, and our infrastructure group. The requirements for joining or applying would be that you are graduated in the last 3 years, so it actually extends beyond current studies and just postgraduate, or still studying, and that you're available for a full-time internship opportunity. Depending on the location, there may also be language requirements, but we don't expect at that level that people would have extensive work experience. It's very much to get foot in the door and to get a flavour for working and to get that experience. We've had extremely good results with them. The calibre of people that come in and the insights, you know, that young grads give to our projects is excellent, so it's something we're very keen on. We want to expand the diversity within our internship programme, and to that end, last year we introduced the possibility to have a stipend. So it's an unpaid internship, but we will contribute towards covering the costs based on the location to help people with what can be a very expensive time with accommodation costs, etc. So we do offer a paid stipend to help students and postgrads with that. All of our internships are also posted on the net. Everything's up there, and the application process is a slightly easier version of our regular application. It's very competitive. For last year, we had an internship opportunity in HR. We had 300 applications. But the quality and the opportunities that you get through it are very good, so I would encourage you to take it on and apply. We don't have an annual cycle, and there's some of the other agencies have annual cycles for that. As and when the opportunities cannot be posted. So again, I would suggest look on Facebook. Actually, our interns have a Facebook page where they post opportunities, and on LinkedIn, where we have we post them when they come in. Yes?
Are there any opportunities for doctors?
Medical doctors? Not specifically, no. I don't want to rule it out, but our primary area is not within the medical field. There could be some projects where they need specialist expertise, but it's not something that's a regular. There I would suggest WHO or UNICEF.
Any other questions?
For the interns and grads, what sort of background, academic background, do they typically have?
Typically, people are studying international studies, politics, development, humanitarian field. We do also have interns that come from project management and business studies backgrounds. So a fairly wide range, but obviously something that's relevant to our work. So typically the development sector or international studies.
And do you presumably prefer a master's degree, do you?
That would depend a little bit on the team that they're working in. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, it can be bachelor's. The eligibility can be either. It's not exclusively master's. But for example, in project management and infrastructure, it typically is master's.
I also have intern in our communication department.
Yes.
And in our legal and other departments. So it depends which department has a project that they want someone to work on. And very often it's research, because those interns, they have already that, you know, that academic research brain that they really get lost anyway. and that is very efficient. So it depends, depends the department asking for the research.
Any other questions? Comments? Thoughts?
Do you also have opportunities for people who want to volunteer? So it's not specifically an initiative, but they would work on one of your sites around the world.
Yeah, we do have actually a small number of volunteers. Typically, we would go to UN volunteers for that. There's a UN agency that manages that volunteer program. The method for that works very well. So we have some UN volunteers working with us. We do also have some volunteers that work with us in specific countries. Yeah, there are those options. they tend to be ad hoc. So when there's somebody that approaches us and is willing and able, and we have a need and that matches, it's not as specific around us.
How big is your? You mentioned communications there, is that based in Copenhagen? Is it? And what sort of things do they do? I mean, it sounds obvious that also be some media stuff, but is there a particular focus on?
Yeah, that's a good question. we have an excellent communications team. They're very small, so I guess there's 5, 10 of them, 5 probably, and then a team of 3 or 4 translators. UNOPS. isn't really a public brand in that sense. UNOPS is a, we don't have a mandate and we don't want a mandate to go out publicly and brand ourselves as externally. We are always working with partners and quite often we want to respect the publicity of the partners. So when we're working with a government or with another agency, it's not our name that you would see on the school when it's built. So our communications is very much around external, some of the materials that you may have seen earlier, our reports, our reporting to the executive board in the UN, and external communications on our website. We're now starting a lot to go into social media with Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, but it's more web-based. UNOPS is a great place to get experience in the field because we are a field-based organisation. But I would also guess many of the other organisations here today are as well. What's important, I think, if you're looking for a career in this field is to make sure that you have that experience. It can be from NGO, it can be from another UN agency, but UNOPS certainly has many opportunities in the field. And the experience and the roles we're looking for within project management and aside from project management, of course, all of that operations and admin, we have HR, finance, logistics people in all of that offices as well. That goes almost without saying, but I should stress that. So there are many opportunities in the field, and we are a field-based organisation. So most of the vacancies and opportunities we have will be in the field. So it's a great place to get some experience. It's also, I'm very open now, it's a very flat organisation. So if you come into UNOPS and you prove that you can do stuff, you'll be given more to do. It's not hierarchical in that sense. So we do often hear from the JPOs and the interns that come in. One of the good things is they get the opportunity to work on many things. You know? And that suits some people and not others, but it's very much, if you prove that you're capable, you'll be given more. and so it's very exciting in terms of getting that experience. But I think many organisations have great opportunities in the field, and it's great to see so many of them here today, actually. Anything else? I think we have 5 more minutes if there are any other final questions.
Yes, sorry, if you hear me asking that, how much negotiation do you do with the governments around your local? Involvement
is there in sort of negotiation or communication in terms of setting up projects and that. Okay. Yeah, so the question was how much do we involve or how much do we negotiate with local communities in our projects? Yeah. I think that's a little bit that comes to the point of the sustainability on our agenda. When we talk about sustainability, what we really mean is sustainability within the community. And part of what we are clear on is one of our values is on national capacity building, working with the local communities. So for us, it would be integral to a successful project that takes place. I wouldn't call it negotiation. It's very much about dialogue and engagement and working together with a partner.
Sorry, just on that then, to do with sustainable project management, does that involve helping to scale up local community and project management and that kind of thing?
Yes. So exactly, the question there was to what extent do we involve local communities in upskilling and capacity building? And yes, we do at several levels. So it could be when we're managing a project and we're implementing a project that we will have one of the objectives could be to involve the local community and provide jobs. An example of that is when you're building a road, you could make sure that it includes manual labour, so that it in itself creates jobs along the way, so the people that live in the villages that will be connected by the road can generate income from doing that. So that's one way, and that's when I talked about that success criteria, that's one of the things that we would measure people on, how sustainable and how much have you involved the community in your project and how satisfied are they by the end result. That's a key part of the implementation. At the other end of the scale, we also have, in terms of our advisory capacity, and this team of our project management guys, they go out and advise governments on how what is good practice in project management. And we actually offer project management training to our partners for free. So one of the things we do is go out to countries and offer them Prince 2 certification and Prince 2 training, simply so that they can become better project managers. And that's something that we started to do in 2012 and 13. We started to roll out for our partners into simply for that purpose.
Yes, possibly. I might have an obscure question, but I was wondering, for example, when you are working in Afghanistan, is it sometimes perceived, is your help sometimes not welcome? For example, is it perceived as an extension of Western colonialism that is not welcome on the ground?
Yeah, that's a difficult one for me to answer. I would imagine, and I'm not just speaking for UNOPS, but for the UN, I should imagine there are examples where that is the case. And that's why we're very conscious of the sustainability of the agenda and working with the communities. I can't say just specific examples, but I could imagine that this has come up. Yeah. Not specifically for UNOPS, but for the UN and aid in general. Yeah.
Anything else?
But in that case, I would like to say thank you very much for your time and your interest. And please do... keep in touch with us if you're interested through various channels, LinkedIn, Facebook, our website, thank you very much.